WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Tens of thousands of people showed up to pay tribute to the late Charlie Kirk at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona.
Look at all these people that came for one man. That speaks a lot for who he really was.
President and Kirk's widow both among the speakers. The administration's expected to announce a link today between autism and taking Tylenol during pregnancy. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
The best recent study looked at 2.5 million kids from Sweden, and they found no increase in risk in autism.
A 4.3 earthquake shook San Franciscans out of bed early this morning, including this man who phoned into our affiliate, KCBS.
Actually, I heard it more than anything else. It woke me up. It's just that everything started rattling profusely in my apartment.
So far, no reports of significant damage or injuries. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Sholly Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. People across Wisconsin are showing support for immigrants. Lisa Hale reports on a rally over the weekend in northeast Wisconsin.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddle masses.
That's Father Joe Matern of Casa Esther Catholic Workhouse in Omro, speaking to a group of about 50 people in South Park in Oshkosh Saturday morning. The No Hate, No Fear, Immigrants Are Welcome Here rally was sponsored by Indivisible Winnebago County, Wisconsin, and Vocas de la Frontera. Deb Martin of Indivisible Winnebago said rallies like this one are essential in the current political climate.
We're finding that they have more fear. One of my friends said, we can't come. And I said, I understand that. I want you to just feel courage that there are those of us who care and that we're going to get together to see in what ways we can help.
Voces de la Frontera's Hiram Rabadan of Fond du Lac shared some of what he and his fellow immigrants are facing.
They go back to your country and come back legally. The first minute I step out of the United States is not possible. If it's a small window to become a legal resident, especially with the atmosphere right now.
Rabadan has been in the United States for nearly two decades and has been a legal resident for the past 2 years. Reverend Ellen Rasmussen of the Algoma Boulevard United Methodist Church is using her voice because many who are immigrants are frightened to use theirs.
Instead of welcome, we see fear. Instead of dignity, we see raids, detentions, and families torn apart.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Sholly Pittman. News anytime at WFHR.com or WIRI.FM.
The Packers losing Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A huge upset. The Packers losing to the Browns, 13-10. The turning point, Jordan Love throwing an interception late in the fourth quarter, allowing the Browns to tie up the game.
No, we're running a triple slant concept, and they're in man coverage. And, you know, I'm trying to work Wicks right there, number two. You know, the safety that was guarding Tucker, you know, fell off that, passed it off, and got in the window right there, and I didn't even see him.
Up next, they face the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Wisconsin lost 27-10 to Maryland. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell reacts to fans in the stands chanting "Fire Fickell."
They're passionate about what they do and what they want to see, and that's what you love about this place.
The Brewers play the Padres tonight in San Diego. They clinched the divisional title again, but had to place Brandon Woodruff on the 15-day IL with a lat strain.
Played catch on Friday. Felt like it was normal stuff. Yesterday, tried to throw a pin, and something felt a little different.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog this morning, otherwise more clouds than sun, with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. A few lingering showers, perhaps a storm tonight, some patchy fog possible again with lows in the upper 50s. Currently, it's 62.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure? Like yourself. not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We discuss what went down on Friday at the CDC and what that portends for expertise in America. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here back up north on this Monday morning, September 22nd. Parker Olson producing things in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot is standing by with the forecast. John and Gordy going to join us from Madison A1. In just a sec here as well, but we are marking the final hours of summer here. The autumnal equinox hits during the 1 o'clock hour this afternoon, and so we've been asking what's so great about fall in Wisconsin. I'm sorry, I need to say that differently. What's so great about fall in Wisconsin? I want you to tell us. Do you have a favorite place where you go to see the best color leaves? Is there a particular Oktoberfest that you like to go to? I think lacrosse is coming up this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. So what makes Wisconsin so great in the fall? Head over to the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages, or use the Civic Media app and either text us or leave a voice note to let us know all about your favorite things to do in Wisconsin during the fall. So speaking of said equinox and the climate and the weather and all that science stuff, Brittany Merlot is here. And is this what the equinox, is that the day where we're supposed to like stand an egg up and see if it balances and nonsense like that?
What? I think so. I've never done it.
Have you never heard of that?
I've heard of it. I've never done it.
Maybe I've heard of it.
Have you?
Because right when the sun's over the equator and the earth is like perfectly balanced and you can actually stand an egg up and it won't wobble like a weeble. Yeah, nobody believes that.
But, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it today.
Now we got something Facebook to do during the 1 o'clock hour today,
smash.
Right?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, 119. So here we go.
you did not lie when you said this could be kind of an icky, unpredictable, spotty system sitting over the state for the weekend. And yeah, true to form. So when do we get this out of here?
Yeah, it's a mess. We've got dense fog that built in. It's still lingering in places, and it could stick around till about noon in some spots. So foggy out there. It is dreary. We've got scattered sprinkles up north, more heavier rain down south. We've got a front draped from La Crosse to Sheboygan right now. And actually some strong to severe storms are hitting in towards Baraboo, Portage, and also into Montello as well. And those are continuing in towards Waupun and over east. So as that moves through the state today, I still think that storms are going to be sparking along that front. So expect from La Crosse to Sheboygan, seeing more continuous rain. And then it does ramp up as we go into early this evening and tonight as that front starts to slide south. It is going to sweep towards Madison, Milwaukee area and continue to linger there through tomorrow. I think up north, we're going to stay dry tomorrow. Those scattered showers and rain stay way far south. You do have a chance in the southern parts to get a few sprinkles still into Wednesday while the rest of the state dries out, warms up, sun comes back. We're actually going to be in the low to mid 70s for a good chunk of this week. But by the time we get to the weekend, it is going to be bright, beautiful, and near 80 degrees once again. So that is good temperatures and sunlight for the fall colors to be changing. And of course, we want the drier weather after such a wet weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Robin Tigerton says that he took pictures of the sunset with fog building in the background for the final summer sunset of 2025. Looking forward to seeing that. And he mentions that Applefest will be in Tigerton this Saturday. So that we're getting to that time of year now where you've got your all your Apple Fests and things like that. Where else did I see? I haven't looked at the full list yet, but I know in Bayfield, they have an apple pie and dessert contest this weekend. And then in Pittsville, they have the Splash of Red Cranberry Tours. So we got all kinds of great fall weekend things to do yet here.
There's so much stuff. Always the events, you know, and the farmers markets before they close. And even if you can get off roading on the trails, to see the fall colors in a different light. So gorgeous.
Yes. All right. And Tony says there's loads of fog in Ashland here today. So, you know, again, just, if that's the case, you know, drive safe and we'll get this burned out and have some nicer weather. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it. All right. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. And there is a new daily newsletter from Civic Media. You can find it over on your, what do they call that thing? The Substack there. Yeah, Civic Media Today. .substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Listen to me sounding like an old codger. It's just, I'm just getting set to talk to people of my kind. That would be John and Gordy from WMDX and Madison, who join us as well. You can hear them in the Madison area 6 to 8 or on the Civic Media app. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good morning.
We're pretty good. Only work 2 hours. You work three.
Yeah. Well, there's a time change up here. We have to work 3 hours to get as much done as you guys get done in two. I
think well, thank you. I'll use that as an excuse next
time.
Yeah,
it was that, or I was going to credit your agent for great contract negotiating. But whatever, however it works, and it allows me to get to spend some time with you, which is really nice.
There's some irony in all of this. We were up for the Best of Madison Magazine Award.
Best radio team.
Best radio team. Man. And we lost out to a radio team that does 1 hour a week. So, you know, we put 5 hours of a lot of research and show prep in, and these guys go in for 1 hour.
An hour.
And they beat us up.
There's a lot to say about some of these, shall we say, elections, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was up in volume one for Chippewa Valley Radio. And I thought I had a few more votes than I did. But once I counted me and my mom and Sherry, and the daughters kind of forgot. So, I got three votes, which is nice. So over the weekend, I wanted to ask in Madison now, and this goes back, there was a pretty good 30-year run there for Badger football. I mean, if you go back to, when Barry Alvarez first came on the scene, there were some dark times. Then things got better. It's a pretty good run. Shall we say football karma for the Badgers is, stop me if you've heard this pun before, a little fickle?
Yeah, I would say, good. I would say a good. Lot of people are criticizing the Badger coaching right at this point.
I mean, what's it like to be in the shadow of Camp Randall when it's just not as guaranteed good as it used to feel down there?
Well, it's frustrating, I'm sure for the Badger fans, especially, I mean, the big Badger fans,
The alumni,
it's
more difficult for them at this point.
Followed them for years. Yeah. I'm sure it's very, very frustrating for them.
The kids don't know the history. They don't care. They go to the game, just to have fun.
They get spoiled. Yeah.
Just a big party.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, speaking of party, as I was trying to look at what was happening down there, I believe over the weekend was the Willie Street Fair.
Yes.
Okay. Willie Street. That's Williamson. That's the full name of the street, right? But they call it Willie Street. Okay.
Yep.
Got it. And I'm not saying you guys like go every year, but that's not a small little craft fair. That's kind of a big deal.
It's a fun eclectic time.
It's very
eclectic. Eclectic describes Willie Street very well. Yes.
It used to be Willie Street was just loaded with hippies, I mean, talking late 60s, early 70s. It's changed over the years. There's still that element. There's a feel over there. There's a lot of very independent shops. Not very many any franchise places or anything like that. It's still kept its charm.
There's a lot of T-shirts on display there. Worn old T-shirts on display,
but there are a lot of really cool cafes and book nooks and places like that.
One thing I noticed over the summer is that because the students are in this college town, there are a lot of seniors out there. And I'm thinking, boy, look at all these seniors. What will happen to all the businesses downtown when they're gone, you know? And, well, they're replaced by students.
Yes.
Now I don't see any seniors. I only see your students. We went down downtown here over the weekend to celebrate our wedding anniversary. And it was a lot of fun, but, you know, very young and encouraging, to say the least.
That is good, though, when you see that. You don't see the signs of a city or a town that's getting old, you know,
right?
Because you don't see the young adults coming in there. So that part is refreshing.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the Badger team doing well, and if the, the Packers are going to break your heart as they did yesterday,
yes.
I suppose Brewer's you have the alternative of going to the movies, which I believe is what Gordy did over the weekend.
That's right. Yeah, I went to see Spinal Tap 2, and end continues, and I got to say, I thought it was really funny, really good.
Good.
And I enjoyed it. You know, it might not have the charm of the first movie, because that was really groundbreaking, kind of a mockumentary, you know, groundbreaking hit. But, you know, now all the guys are older, and it was all about getting old, and we got to do one more show, you know, just go out on a high note. And that was... It was funny from beginning to end.
It's great commentary on the aging rock and rollers out there. I mean, there are so many of them that stayed in the business and still stayed very relevant with their music. MJ, you know, it's kind of cool.
And I don't want to give away any spoilers. I think they're already out there, but there's some cameos from McCartney and Elton John and you know, Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood. And
I'm going to guess Bob Dylan was not one of them, because
Bob Dylan did not show up.
He did what was it, Alpine Valley the other day? And once again, like his concert in Eau Claire several weeks back, basically he just kind of sits off in the corner of the stage. The stage is bathed in red. You can barely see him. Mm. He just kind of, he doesn't talk. He just kind of sings the songs and then goes away. And everybody's like,
oh,
is that it? Yep.
I did not see a story on that. That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
So I did a movie yesterday as well.
Really?
And Sherry put it very, very well, I thought. She's like, look, the Brewers are still doing well. I can't get into the Packer stuff. It's nice out. I don't want to sit for 3 hours and watch a football game. Plus, we could see it was like they were driving. We're like, okay, they're going to run out the clock. It's going to be great. There's a movie that's starting. Let's go.
Sure.
It was called A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie.
I've never heard of it.
I'd never seen the previews, the commercials, nothing. Went into it completely blind. Sherry had seen it, wanted to see it. And, you know, I'm not against, you know, rom-coms. That's fine. And this was more of a fantasy one. Again, I don't want to do spoilers. So if I just say there's some time travel in it.
Oh, that's cool. Know?
Yeah. Mm. It's very, it's the kind of thing that you'd see more in like a film festival art thing. But it was very well done. I don't have any bad words to say about it. The story I'm telling about it deals with being in seats with the reclining chairs now. I hope you've been in some of those with the little power recliner.
That's,
which is nice. Yeah. But it means the legs go up and then the legs go down with the push of a button. Unlike the old theater seats where you always knew what was underneath. Well, at one point I heard a noise and I realized that I dropped my readers because I'm of that age now. And I'm like, oh, the readers fell between the seats. Well, I'll get it after the movie. And so I put the seat all the way out, push the button. I get on my hands and knees. And you realize that with the recliners there now, they don't clean under the seats the way that you could when it was just the seats.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys familiar with the term primordial soup?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The ooze from which all life evolved.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a collection of dried Coca-Cola and bits of candy and petrified popcorn, and somewhere just out of reach, I could see the readers. But it would have involved getting into that ooze.
Yes.
So I'm in the market for some new readers if you've got a place down there. But
So what theater was this?
So you just left them there?
What theater was
it? I just left them there at that point. I'm like, you can get readers for like the buck and a quarter at Walgreens, it seems.
Okay.
We're talking to John and Gordy about ways you can entertain yourself, like a movie. Just watch where you drop your stuff. And we'll continue on this Monday morning live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Whitelow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoke, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Building confidence and changing lives every day. The SWC YMCA is here for your family, located in the heart of Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome fall with a splash by attending the group swimming lessons provided for all ages. It might be cool outside, but it's always warm inside the pool. Go online today at www.swcymca.org for class information and sign up. The SWC YMCA is here for all ages, from youth to silver sneakers, where a healthy way of living is everything the YMCA supports. Come start your health journey together.
Hi friends, it's Steven.
And Katrina from Family Natural Foods. We will be having our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale going on Friday, October 3rd, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, October 4th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., 910 West Grand Ave in Wisconsin Rapids.
We'll have samples and product experts answering your questions. Don't forget to sign up for some awesome door prizes and receive a free gift with purchase. Join us Friday, October 3rd and Saturday, October 4th for our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale.
Working with nature since 1946.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios. You know,
that's a really cool thing about donating to a local, small, charitable organization such as PEEF. 100% of the money, you know it's going to benefit the students of the Port Edward School District. So I just wanted to add that little plug that, you know, when you come out and support us, that money goes directly to our kids.
Appreciate that. I want to get to some things with you in a moment, sir. But if you don't mind, Marissa, I also wanted to ask before we wrap up with you about the 2025-26 officers and how to donate for people.
Sure. So our president for PEEF is Liesl Detlefson. She just took over as president last year, doing an awesome job. She's been a PEEF board member for quite some time. I just recently became the vice president. We have April Hofferman as our treasurer and Karen Isaacson as our secretary. And then we have 11 other board members.
Awesome. A big thank you and congratulations to everybody. That's awesome. That's really good to hear. A lot of great individuals. Some of those that we've talked to on the airwaves here and everything. We know how great of people they are. You put good people in great places, good things happen. That's really cool to hear. Did we cover everything, Marissa? We get all our bases covered here?
Yeah, I think so. We do have our annual fund drive that's going to be starting in October, which runs through December. We have a PEEF Facebook page that you can reach out to if you just look up Port Edwards Education Foundation. There's also a link from the Port Edwards School District webpage that you can find us for how to donate.
Awesome. Thank you for that. We'll make sure to mention those again before we wrap up today and really appreciate the time, Marissa, and certainly appreciate everything you're putting into our community. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
James, it is the beginning of the start of the school year, and we are excited about that. We were just talking about it a bit in our pregame. The adrenaline, the energy is in the air. I know that part of it for us, we're so close to Rams, and we get a little of that overflow we feel. And even though we are not right next door to Port Edwards, we can feel it from there too, sir. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fun going on with that. Can we touch on how the beginning of the school year is going?
We're off to a great start, James. We are here. It's Friday, September 19th. We're at the end of our third week of school already. And I think one of the reasons our school year is off to such a great start, you know, we have great teachers, we have great support staff, We've also implemented a couple of great character education programs at both of our schools, and I wanted to talk just a little bit about those today. At John Edwards Middle and High School, our high school principal, Mr. Steltenpohl, has introduced a program called GRIT. And GRIT is an acronym that stands for you get to do something as opposed to you have to do something. So that's the G.
I like that.
We get to do this. We get to go to a great school. We get to work with great teachers. We get to be in all these great programs. So we get to, we are resilient, we do our lives with integrity, and we do things in a tenacious way with tenacity. And the GRIT program is designed to highlight and celebrate the good things that are happening within our school community. Many people think back on their school career and we think about, oh boy, going to the office, someone's in trouble if they have to see the principal. We deal with discipline like any other school does, but as school administrators, we want to really focus on pointing out the good in our school too, because all too often those students who are making good choices, coming to school and acting with integrity every day, they don't get pointed out always. So the GRIT program has been introduced at the middle school and high school. And when our teachers see our students doing small but important things, acting with kindness, being helpful, acting with integrity, they will get a ticket. And that ticket goes into a box. And at the end of the month, there is a drawing. We have a big pep assembly. We have like a party in the gym at the end of the school day. In fact, the September 1 is today at 2:45. And they have a lot of fun during that pep assembly. And students' names are drawn out of a box. They get to spin a wheel, and they get prizes. And they are identified for doing the good things in our school. So that's at the middle school level. We have a very similar program at the high school as well. High school students, they get coupons as well. And they get all kinds of things like gift cards for gas stations, restaurants, treats, etc. So we really are trying to promote and be very intentional about promoting good behavior in our schools.
I am a big, big fan of the education system, in particular what we do on a public school level. It's been around for a long time, and I think that there are way, way, way more good positives than negatives or anything like that. But as we are getting into later years here and into the 2025 and some of these things, we're learning a little bit more and more of what works best for kids, mm-hmm. and really putting them first. Mm-hmm. And I believe when it comes to discipline and accountability, schools have been good about that for a very long time. But there's another side of that, mm-hmm. and the idea of that, the encouragement of doing good, the positivity of that, what that does, what that brings. It's not just a matter of putting a smile on your face or acting right, but acting right even when people aren't looking, or some of those things. Our schools are doing a really good job on. This is one of those things that is a part of that, this program, this GRIT. When I think everybody can relate to the idea of what it was like when you were a kid and you did something, you took the garbage out from mom and dad and they told you good job. And the way you lit up from that, that's something that every little kid thrives on, no matter where they're from, no matter how old they are. When you are that young, that makes a big impact when adults take a moment to tell you, nice work, nice job. We forget this the older we get. And it's just as important as that accountability and that discipline part is just as important to point out when you're doing something good. It's not necessarily something that you get a ton as an adult. Right. Or anything. If we can build them up more at this age, we have them that much more confident when they go into the society, when they go into the workforce or whatever else that they're doing. These things have just as much of an impact as a math test or something like that. It's really cool to see programs like this and hear about these things. And I'm I wish it was around when I was a kid a little bit. But it's a great program. Thank you very much for telling us about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, our public schools have done this forever, mm-hmm. right? We've always encouraged our students to be positive. We always want them to do the right thing. I think this programming is just being taking intentionality to another step. Mm-hmm. We're just being a little more intentional about it. And we're really doing something tangible for students, showing them, hey, if I do the right thing, I'm going to get really acknowledged. I'll get acknowledged around my peers. And it is cool and it is good mm-hmm. to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The message really getting across.
Can I say too, at the assemblies, I think even more than sort of getting the little prizes,
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Health experts are reminding folks about Chagas, or kissing bug disease. It's a potentially deadly condition spread through flat orange and black insects that feed on blood at night. And while their bites might go unnoticed, the bugs can carry parasites that infect both humans and animals and can lead to long-term heart and digestive problems if left untreated. Brian Simmons is an infection preventionist at Exemplify. He says some common symptoms and warning signs include fever and achiness.
And some people will get what's called a Romana sign, which is a swollen eyelid. One of the common areas where scratches could occur or infection is having some of that organism get into the eye or a cut near the eye or abrasion of that skin.
Simmons says there are ways to protect yourself.
From potentially being bitten by the kissing bug or being infected by that bug that might be leaving its waste on vegetables and so on, is to clean those raw vegetables. If you're out in the environment, to protect yourself from just like any bug bites.
Chagas has been identified in some states in the Midwest and South, though not Wisconsin yet. A recent report from the CDC says it should be considered endemic in the United States.
Most of these cases that we have seen within the United States in recent years have been occurring in the southern states, such as Texas, California, Arizona, and such.
Here in Wisconsin Rapids, there's a new municipal judge, Stephen Walczak, will fill the position through next April. The city council approved his appointment last week. There will be a special election in April. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman. News anytime at WFHR.com or WIRI.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog this morning, otherwise more clouds than sun, with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. A few lingering showers, perhaps a storm tonight. Some patchy fog possible again with lows in the upper 50s. Currently, it's 62.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Smoke. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
Yeah. After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17. All coming up. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
We're getting near the end of the regular season for the Milwaukee Brewers, but thankfully there will be some postseason action as well. But as for the regular season, well, there's a three-game series starting in San Diego tonight, then tomorrow night, Wednesday afternoon, a day off on Thursday, then a homestand against the Cincinnati Reds Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then that does it for the regular season. Tonight's game against San Diego, the pregame coverage begins at 8:05 on several civic media stations. Head over to the website to learn more. And while you're there, check out, again, the details on the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, which we'll be doing in the 7 o'clock hour throughout this week and next week, where, again, with that Civic Media app, you're going to text in a keyword, and that'll get you entered for a big grand prize, tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota. It's a Green Bay home game, and you can get more details on the Go for the Green and Gold contest from Jane and Greg, part of Matinair on Air. Coming up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The fall session of the legislature is getting going. We talked to State Senator Kelda Royce an hour ago. She's candidate for governor, and we talked about the package of education bills put forward by Democrats, the package of education bills put forward by Republicans. There's not a lot of common ground there. And unfortunately, it seems that even when there is a hint at common ground on something, there usually are some kinds of strings attached. And that appears to be the case with a different package of bills that Republicans are saying they'll introduce this week to deal with our elections, specifically absentee ballot drop boxes. Now, keep in mind that absentee ballot drop boxes were used for years in Wisconsin with no issues and with the support from both parties. Republicans really liked it because in rural areas, places with older populations, it was a matter of convenience. Democrats liked them in urban areas. Again, people who might have had busy schedules or young families. Again, they could drop off their ballots as securely as when you drop your mail off in the mailbox. All right. They're fine. They work. When Donald Trump knew he was going to lose the 2020 election to Joe Biden, and the documentation is there. Months before the election, he started laying the groundwork toward trying to steal the election, or at least to circumvent it or to cast doubt on its integrity. And one of the things that he flailed at was absentee ballot drop boxes. And then in the wake, for reasons I can only log as, quote, a cult of personality, unquote, suddenly, so many Republicans didn't like absentee ballot drop boxes either. And there were court challenges and there were conservative justices who said, yes, these things, it's like we just discovered them and they're bad and we have to get rid of them. Well, thanks to voters in Wisconsin, the state Supreme Court was put into progressive hands, and progressive justices looked at that and said, what are we talking about here? They work. They're fine. Let them be. Let's turn to another matter, and then I'll bring the two together, and that is the processing of absentee ballots. Again, they're put into these envelopes. If you've ever filled one out, you know that you have to sign it. You have to get a witness to sign it. You have to put the address on there. Again, the ballot is sealed. You just know that there is an absentee ballot in there, and you either use the ballot drop box or you mail it in or you bring it back in person or you fill it out in person at your local clerk's office. And then it goes into a box, goes into a locked box someplace until election day. When they're opened up, you have to check the addresses. You have to check to make sure the signatures are there and they're valid. And then you can open up the envelope. You can pull the ballot out and then you can process them. Well, there's a lot of places because they're big cities and there's only so much time and so many people and so many ballot counting machines. And in these larger cities, you have election results that don't come in until late at night. There's a way around that. And that would be to allow the absentee ballot envelopes to be checked the day before, make sure that they're good, toss out the ones that aren't. And that way, right away on election day, you can then just open them up, open up all the good ones, and you can run the ballots through the machine. That makes sense too, right? Right. So Republicans are now saying they're willing to go along with this. Well, that's nice of them. I mean, for the past couple of election cycles, we've known, Republicans and Democrats alike, that processing the absentee ballot envelopes the day before would be a good thing. And yet Republicans in the legislature have fought against that, have not supported it for only one reason, and it has nothing to do with security. It enables some of them to continue the talking point, basically the conspiracy theory that, well, if the ballots are taking so long to count and the results are coming in the middle of the night, there must be something shady going on in bad old Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay or Racine or Kenosha. There must be something that we can't trust there. But they won't, of course, pass the bill that would allow the processing of the absentee ballot envelopes so that you wouldn't have that talking point. Well, now we come to Republicans saying that this week, here comes a new package of election bills, and it would allow for Monday processing of the absentee ballots. Thank goodness. And it would allow, for widespread use of absentee ballot drop boxes. Well, yeah, there should be. But of course, here come the strings. And there are definitely strings attached to this, as explained yesterday on Upfront by Republican Representative Scott Krug, who is vice chair of the Assembly Elections Committee. And he said on the program, I think it's fair to say that some of these things, Republicans might not like them and Democrats might not like some of the things. Well, I don't know. There's definitely things for most people to not like in terms of the strings that are attached, because we're now suddenly treating absentee ballot drop boxes like they're Fort Knox, just waiting to be robbed or something. Because in return for Republicans supporting the Monday processing of absentee ballot envelopes, the bills include security changes for the drop boxes, including 24-hour video surveillance that must be live streamed on a municipality's website. So in other words, these cash-strapped local governments, whether it's a little township or a big city that's already having a tough time meeting expenses because of cuts by the state legislature, would now have to put 24-hour video cameras on the drop boxes and then reconfigure your websites to live stream a picture of a drop box, which I'm sorry, you're begging for people to just go to these drop boxes and put on a little theater presentation because they know they have an audience there. It serves no other role whatsoever. But wait, there's more. The ballots, according to this bill, would also need to be transferred from the drop box to a storage facility only under the constant supervision of a law enforcement officer. That's how little respect they have for law enforcement. I mean, you've already got police departments and sheriff's departments that they too are cash strapped. They too have better things to do. And yet the Republicans in the legislature would require that there be an officer or more to go to these drop boxes when these ballots are picked up. So let me ask you this. Are you aware of any mailboxes out there that are live streamed, that have 24-hour video surveillance, and that they're on the U.S. Postal Service website? No, because it doesn't happen. You know why? Because mailboxes are secure, and if you fiddle around with them, if you try to commit some kind of mail fraud or theft, that's a crime. You'll be charged with a crime. The same goes for absentee ballot drop boxes right now. If you monkey around with them, it's a crime. And who's going to take the risk of that to affect what? The 10 ballots that might be inside that box? But we're going to add a law enforcement officer that's got to be there like you're transferring gold bars? these are the strings that are attached in order to get Monday processing of absentee ballot envelopes. Why? Why can't we just have a clean bill? Why can't we ever just have a clean bill, an up or down vote? Are you okay with Monday processing of absentee ballots? If you're not, say so. Say you want to continue the conspiracy theory about late night ballot counting. But don't tie these strings. And then, of course, when they get voted down because they're ridiculous, they then get the talking point of, oh, the Democrats, they voted no on it. The Democrats voted no on election security. Yeah, they voted no on armed guards. I mean, why didn't you just ask for an armored car to be there to carry the ballots in as well? Maybe a full police motorcade. But always the strings and always the talking point, rather than just doing what is best and most efficient for our elections. And so my hope is, and my expectation is, that if these bills actually make it to the floor, and frankly in the committee process as well, the Democrats will put up amendments that would strip out the ridiculousness. Maybe even find some other kind of middle ground, whatever it may be, whether it's strengthening the penalties that already exist for monkeying with absentee ballot drop boxes or something else. But get us to the point where we can do the Monday processing. Have some more respect for your local clerks. Have some more respect for your local law enforcement. And stop making them engage in all of this performative politics so that you can continue talking points rather than having elections that just do what they already do here. They are safe, they are fair, they are efficient, and in the ways that they could be made better, just make them better and stop screwing around with them. Oh, but speaking of screws, how's that for a transition? The headline from the New York Times, Trump's tariffs are damaging America's biggest foreign source of screws. Taiwan has long been a top provider of screws to the United States, but the factories are struggling to survive because of Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum. Most people know Taiwan as making all the semiconductors and other electronics. It's a lot of intricate work, but then there's that everyday, essential, almost invisible component of everyday objects, writes the New York Times, screws. But Taiwan screw makers are wondering how their businesses will survive over the next few months. And to what degree will China gain ground in the meantime? Because again, it's not like this is going to be creating American jobs. We're not opening up some kind of new markets for American screw makers. Okay. These are tiny things that are best made overseas more cost effectively, but now they won't be, along with everything else that is more expensive. Now think of the things that require lots and lots of screws. At Courier Newsroom, we've had a video series for a time. I'm not sure if the person still does it or not, but this would be a perfect episode for it, talking about the things that you don't normally see in politics but are working against you, the ways that you're being nickel and dimed. Instead, the name of the series is You're Probably Getting Screwed. And in this case, it is quite literal. So again, a story in the New York Times, one of the many ways that a made-up trade war is hurting rather than helping our economy. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota and a preview of Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Introducing the new Dell AI PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra processor. It helps do your busy work for you, so you can fast forward through editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, summarizing meeting notes, finding files, managing a schedule, and responding to Jim's long emails. Leaving all the time in the world for the things you actually want to do. No offense, Jim. Get a new Dell AI PC at dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call 1-800-217-4380. That's 1-800-217-4380. Again, 1-800-217-4380.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapid Support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapid Support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, Jane Matinair is here. Matinair on Air coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Jane's going through some stuff.
We are literally going through things.
Literally going through things, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But first, we've got to talk about what's coming up because you got candidates today.
We do. We are going to be talking to Jocasta Zamarripa, who is an older person in the city of Milwaukee, and she is running for Secretary of State. So Jocasta is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. And then in hour number two, she's been a guest many times on our show, a former daycare provider in northern Wisconsin. Corrine Hendrickson is going to be joining us. She, of course, had to close her child care facility.
Yes.
After struggling for so many years trying to hang on. And now she's running for office. And I am thrilled to talk to her about this. Mm-hmm. She's had some pretty interesting things she shared with us when she's talked to some of our lawmakers and their opinion, let's say, on who should be providing child care and what they should get paid for.
Yes. I think they did everything but say little lady.
Yes. But, oh, sweetie, if you just stay home and take care of all your neighbor's kids, we wouldn't have this problem.
We first noticed Corrine when she testified before a congressional committee, and she said it was a somewhat spur of the moment thing when she was going to be in D.C. Somebody knew about it, said, you know, hey, come talk to this committee about it. And it was so heartfelt and said so well. And she'd become basically the leading advocate for child care in Wisconsin over these past couple of years.
Yes.
That I'm not surprised her frustration would lead her to this point to run for a seat in the state Senate, because you get so tired of watching this legislature just ignore big problems.
Well, and I can't imagine the frustration when you do actually get faced you know, the rare opportunity when you do get to sit down face to face with some of these lawmakers and they essentially just listen and nod and go, yeah, bye, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, so you do that enough times, it's like, yeah, I think maybe I could do a better job.
And she is hoping to do that with Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. Although there will be a primary, she is one of three Democrats running in the Senate 17th Senate District, and she'll be talking to Jane about that just over an hour from now. But as far as going through some stuff, because Jane and I are both thinking about, you know, at some point we're going to have to clean out our respective residences, which
downsize a little bit,
or at least lighten the load when apparently you get enough silver upstairs and there's a critical mass and enough gray hair triggers the neurons that say, we got to get rid of some of the stuff.
Yep.
And that's what you're doing right now.
Yep. That's where we are right now. So that's what I did over the weekend. This is just an indication of how old we are, but we still have a big cabinet full of CDs.
Yep,
which
same.
We haven't played. I play CDs every Christmas as background music, you know, and they rotate on the CD player and things.
Yes.
But other than that, I haven't listened to any of these CDs in probably 15, 20 years.
Exactly.
And so I went through those, and why I'm hanging on to still probably 100 of them is a question that will last throughout time.
You're not going to believe this. So we've got the CDs, we've got DVDs, but we did finally get rid of the VHS tapes. I mean, we just don't. And I got rid of the cassette tapes. You know, there's a handful of them that might have news stories from back in the day or whatever.
Right.
But the music ones, and I used to have a whole bunch of blank ones, and they went away. The 11-year-old grandson, last time he came to visit, was asking if we had any because
cassettes
recorders were what they were like teaching the kids to. It was like some kind of OG way to do something with technology and recording yourself. I think it's like a step before you can teach. Here's how a computer operates. It's
sure.
Here's the technology that got us there. And he thought for sure I'd have some cassettes to give him to take back to school. And I didn't have any.
Oh, rats.
It's like, let's make a deal, you know, when Monty Hall would come over Wayne Brady does it today. I'll give you so much if you've got, you know, a cassette tape in your purse.
In your purse, right.
I don't have a cassette tape anymore.
Oh, that's a shame. I have some old air checks he can have.
No, those are going in a museum someplace.
Oh, yeah.
Like the rest of us, you know.
Yes, exactly.
We're just museum pieces. And so, yeah, I'm getting close to that stage now. And are you familiar with, you know, there's all these different declutter, you know, people at the workplace,
Joy Kondo and whatever.
Yes.
I don't do that. No.
And one of them has a theory called touch it once. In other words, if you get like, say, here's a piece of mail and I have not opened it yet and it's sitting over here. And at some point I'm going to move it over here. And at some point I'm going, you know, I'll get to that pile later. I'm going to move it over here.
Yes.
And the theory is if you've touched it, deal with it, get it out of the way. I'm not very good at that, but it does set up the name of what I'm going to be doing with my stuff. When it's time to go through there, I've got something called touch it one more time, because there are things down there again, dating back to childhood and college and early career. And you always, they're like a little comforting thing to have around, like, oh, look at this, honey. This is when we were dating. Here's the
That's
first
sweet.
You know, card you got me. And it's like, we don't need that anymore. So
we've been together a long time, honey. Yeah.
Yep. We're going to touch this. We're going to touch this record one more time, or my Boy Scout handbook. Why do I still have my Boy Scout handbook? I don't know.
Because you remembered all of it anyway, Pat.
Yes,
you don't need to that handbook.
Right,
it's part of your life.
It's part of the technology, like a cassette recorder. That's how useful it is. So yeah, I've said as we get closer to that phase, it's like touch it one more time. Say, yep, I will miss it. And get it out of there, and don't make your daughters or anybody else have to do that for you. Otherwise, they're just going to put it all in a dumpster and light it on fire.
Seriously, I'm just glad to know that I'm not the only one who does that with paperwork. I have at least four piles before it even makes it into my office. And then it gets divided into more piles, which is the shred pile and the file pile. And then I don't even know what I'm going to do with this pile.
So many piles.
So many piles.
Many a time I've just said, my to-do list just says, the pile. And the I know pile. What I mean. Go take the pile down. Thank you, Jane. Have a great show.
You too.
You will hear Jane coming up from 9 to 11 weekdays, along with Greg Bach for Matinair on Air. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for starting your Monday here with us. We'll see you bright and early Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., back here up north.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's teasing an announcement on autism today. The Washington Post says the administration will link it to Tylenol use during pregnancy. Medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
One of the things that concerns me is unintended side effects of this. So will women end up taking other medications like aspirin or ibuprofen during pregnancy? Those actually can be dangerous.
The president paid tribute to Charlie Kirk at a memorial that filled State Farm Stadium in Arizona.
I know I speak for everyone here today when I say that none of us will ever forget Charlie Kirk, and neither now will history.
Britain, Australia, Canada, and Portugal among the latest to recognize Palestinian statehood. Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu threatening to respond. Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Two of his coalition partners say the best response would be to annex parts of the West Bank, a move that Saudi Arabia says would have major implications.
CBS News Brief. I'm Derek.